Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 6th chapter, verses 19 through 30. I'll sing verse 19. Nahyachutam vinayata bhavayasa saratmaja bhavavat sarabhutanam siratvat vihasarvata. Translation. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan is the original Supersoul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. So what do you remember from the last class? Last classes. Last one was Saturday. Does anybody remember? This is chapter 6. Chapter 6. And this is entitled, Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. So what do you remember? Does anybody remember anything from chapter 6 beginning? Yes, even though our life is temporary, we can get all perfection. It's very nice. Adi Purush, you had something.
Most of our life is wasted.
Most of our life is wasted. In sleep, in childhood, in youthhood, in old age. And then the rest of it's in family life. It's all wasted. Whole life is wasted. Yes. Anything else from the last classes? Okay, I'm going to start remembering from chapter 5 because I wasn't here with you. The end of chapter 5 from verse 25, Prahlad. His father has been asking what is the best thing you learned. And Prahlad was telling him, you should go to the forest. You're a demon. You're a grihasta. You're in the andhakupam. You're in the dark well. What are you doing here? Go to the forest of Vrindavan. So how did his father like that answer from Prahlad Maharaj? He was not very happy. And so many times he was calling Sanda and Amarka. What was the meaning of Sanda and Amarka's names? Sanda was
breeding
bull, and Amarka was
like a monkey.
So the names of his teachers, and then the name of Hiranyakashipu, gold and soft bed. So there you have it all there. And then Prahlad's name is Prahlad, that great ecstasy. So it's the demons versus the devotees. So Hiranyakashipu is chastising his teachers. What are you teaching my child? You're teaching him to chant Hare Krishna. You're spoiling him. And Prabhupada also had this problem with the parents of his disciples. They say, you're spoiling my son. Now he doesn't want to eat meat or have illicit sex or all these things. You're spoiling him. You're teaching him Hare Krishna. And the teacher said, no, we're teaching him politics, economics, everything you want, but somehow he's just chanting Hare Krishna. We don't know where he got it from. And not only he's chanting, he's spoiling the other children too. So then he asked, where have you learned these things? And Prahlad said, well, matir na krishne parata satova. That means you cannot arouse this attraction to Krishna by matir, this parata, instructions of others, or your own swata, your own understanding, or mitta, from combined effort. So because you are grihavratanam, you have taken the vow of grihamedi life, you cannot never understand. So Prabhupada in a lecture said, don't worry, you'll never be Krishna conscious. He's telling his father, rest assured, because you just want to stick to your home, money, and women. So don't worry, you won't become a devotee. Now that was Prabhupada's explanation. Puna punas charvita charvananam. So how do you become Krishna conscious then? In one of those verses, Prahlad Maharaj explains. Yes, Prashanta. Yes. Yes. Naisamatis yavad urum kuramagin. Yes. Or whatever. Mehasam pararajo pashekam. So then, of course, he gets very angry and he starts throwing him in boiling oil and he gets a bunch of demons. And I just had a little memory here from Govindadasi because there is a picture in the original book of Prahlad and all the demons with their spears trying to attack him. So Prabhupada had Govindadasi draw this picture. So Govindadasi said, I had to come up with some demons, but I didn't know what demons look like. But somehow or other, I drew some demons. And I asked Prabhupada, are they okay? He said, yes, this is very good. There are such demons. They look like this, even on this planet. There are such demons, Prabhupada said. And she said, oh, really? I didn't know that. And Prabhupada said, there's a lot of things you don't know. So, such demons. Last year we were hearing, of course, all these from Russia, we hear everything. And Patri was telling us these stories about some such demons he was preaching to. He met some demons somewhere in Moscow, and they were in a van, and they were having a meeting how to, you know, disrupt the city. And he was trying to sell them a book, and they said, no, but we can't take your book. We're demons, you know. Yeah. And the guy took off his hat, and he showed two horns on his head. So we get all these crazy stories from Patri, you know. That was one of the stories, believe it, Ripley's Believe It or Not. So there are such demons. And if you want to find them, you can go to Moscow and look very carefully and tell everyone to take their hat off. And anyway, Patri is not with us. We won't get any good stories this year. So he was trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And then in the sixth chapter, we have the instructions of Prahlad. Even though he was tortured in so many ways, he never stopped preaching. And right from the childhood, he said, you should take up devotional service and you will be happy. Because Krishna is Priya, Atma Ishara, Supraso, Surit. He is your well-wisher. He is everything for you. And then as Adipurush said, all your time is being wasted in childhood, boyhood, old age. I think Sankaracharya said, in childhood, you waste your time playing. In youthhood, you waste your time running after girls or boys, as the case may be. And old age, you just waste your time being sick the whole time, which is the truth. So the whole life, and then the rest of the time, either you're sleeping or you're trying to make money or enjoy. So it's all a waste. It's like a dream, a gross dream. So he said, money is sweeter than honey. And this is this is everyone's philosophy, actually, in this world. Just get some money and enjoy. So now in this 19th verse that we read today, he's teaching the children. And you will find in chapter 6 and chapter 7, the teachings of Prahlad, this is the main idea. And he's going to show how material life is very difficult. He's already said a few things, and to please Krishna is very easy. So you can look for this theme today and also this afternoon and tomorrow. And very complicated philosophy we're going to have tomorrow. But this theme will be there. Material life is difficult. And I think in the end of Burijan's, in the fifth chapter, that theme was also there. It's very difficult material life. So many problems are there. So I'd like to just read you a few things about what's happening nowadays. Prahlad, this happened many millions or billions of years ago, that he was teaching his classmates Krishna consciousness. But this is even happening today in this world. There is one example in Poland. This is from Indradumna Maharaj's diary. And he was looking for an adult to preach to at one of the cities where they were. Now, I read this last year, but maybe some of you didn't hear it. So he said, suddenly I heard a voice, Hare Krishna, Srila Gurudev. And he said, I couldn't tell, there was so much noise, I couldn't tell where the voice was coming from. And then he saw a little hand with some flowers come up in front of my face. He said, this is for you. So I looked down and I saw a little girl dressed in a sari with a big smile on her face. I smiled back. Well, thank you. I said, what's your name? My name is Kamila and I'm 9 years old. Don't you remember me? He said, well, not exactly. I meet many children in my travels, but thank you for the flowers. So he was thinking, as she was just a child, I just wanted to finish quickly and find a serious adult to preach to. She said, we met 2 years ago at one of your festivals. I saw you chanting in the rain that day. When my neighbors told me they were going, I wanted to go too. He said, you saw us chanting in the rain? Then he thought about my hesitancy to join the kirtan in the bad weather that morning. She said, yes. And that night at the festival, when you saw I was interested, you talked to me and told me stories about Krishna. Suddenly I remembered the little girl. She said, and I never forgot you. I pray to you every morning when I wake up and every night before I go to sleep. My eyes suddenly stopped searching the crowd for an older guest, and I looked down at her. You do? I asked. Oh, yes, she said. I'm so thankful to you. You are? I asked. Yes. And as I promised you, I've been chanting 3 rounds on the japa beads you gave me every day. Srila Gurudev, this time I would like to ask you for a spiritual name. Are your parents devotees? I asked. She said, no, and they're divorced. I live with my mother. Oh, I see. Well, what will she think if I give you a spiritual name? Why don't you ask her, the girl said. I brought her to the program tonight. She's just over there. I'll go get her. She ran off and within minutes came back with her mother. Pleased to meet you, I said as I shook the mother's hand. I'm more than pleased to meet you, the mother said. You have done so much for my daughter. She loves you very much. The walls of her room are covered with your photos. I must admit that when she came home from your festival 2 years ago, I was quite upset. She had gone without my permission. But my irritation soon changed into astonishment. She used to be such a naughty child, so difficult to handle. But after her one meeting with you, she changed so much. How could I complain when she prayed to you every day and chanted on the beads you gave her? She was even reading your movement's books. As an 8-year-old, she couldn't understand much, but what she understood, she shared with her friends at school. One day in religion class, when the priest was speaking unfavorably about other religions, my daughter stood up and challenged him. All religions are good, she said, and people have the right to choose the one they want to follow. When she told him she was a follower of Hare Krishna, he went speechless. She was asked to leave the class for good, and recently I was called before the school administration. They told me if she continues preaching about Krishna to her schoolmates, she'll have to leave the school permanently. So this is going on in Poland. They know she doesn't eat the meat served in the cafeteria, but brings it home and gives it to the family dog. What would they say if they knew she doesn't even do that anymore? She makes little balls of sweets, offers them to your picture, and then gives them to the dog. I have the fattest dog in the neighborhood. But believe me, I'm not upset. I realize I have a special daughter. She's taught me so much. Because of her, I'm now reading Bhagavad Gita. Little girl was standing before us, softly chanting on her beads. She's been so anxious to meet you again. She can't sleep at night, the mother said. Camilla smiled and looked up at me. Srila Gurudev, I really want to have a spiritual name, but someone told me I have to chant 16 rounds and be your follower. He said, children can get spiritual names, and I can't imagine a better follower than you. We'll give you the name Shyam Lila Dasi, I said. And she bowed down. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm so grateful. Well, that was one example of what's going on nowadays, preaching. And there's another example. This is some years ago, 1990. Just very short. This is from BTG. This is in America. This is one girl, I think. She's now married and has children. Anjali's teachers and friends knew she was a Hare Krishna devotee. Every year in high school, she'd give a talk about Srila Prabhupada. Throughout her school years, whenever possible, she would write her English papers on Krishna conscious teachings and bring in prasadam for her teachers and classmates. In the 9th grade, Anjali, dressed in saffron sannyasi clothes and carried a sannyasi staff to give a class presentation about Srila Prabhupada's life. After Anjali's talk, her English teacher went with her husband to Anjali's home to see her altar. The next day, she excitedly told all the English teachers to go to Anjali's house and see her deities. So Anjali's teachers and friends never misunderstood Krishna consciousness to be a cult. Rather, they understood it to be genuine spiritual practice. They appreciated Krishna conscious philosophy, would sometimes visit her home temple and enjoy vegetarian food offered to Krishna. Anjali comments, I feel... In 9th grade, she must have been about 13 or 14. I feel it's my duty to teach my friends about Lord Krishna because Prahlad Maharaj taught his class friends to chant Hare Krishna. At this point in their lives, my classmates are inquisitive about life after death, karma, and God. They want to find all the answers. I want to help them understand the spiritual reasons why certain things happen before they become frustrated with their lives and resort to drugs, alcohol, and illicit sex. I don't want that to happen to them. Being their age, I can explain Krishna consciousness to them in a down-to-earth way they can understand. It's a lot easier and more effective learning from someone your own age. The kids are fascinated by Krishna conscious philosophy and really relish it. So these are some preaching examples that are happening even now, and I'm sure there are many more. So Prahlad is preaching to his friends that it's very easy to please Lord Narayan. No impediments, difficult to please your relatives, but easy to please the Lord. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one may ask, one is certainly very attached to family life, but if one gives up family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? It's a lot of trouble. It's more trouble sometimes. Prabhupada says, this is not a valid objection. Now, why? You tell me, why is this not a valid objection? It's more trouble in spiritual life than in material life. Priyanta?
Trouble is trouble, but result is
result also. Yeah, okay, very good answer. Trouble is trouble, but result is result also. Very good answer. Yes?
Because endeavor for spiritual thing for Krishna is actually not endeavor.
Okay, it's play, it's fun.
Naturally present, eternally.
Yes, that's just what he said. He said, it's natural. And Prabhupada used to say, all we do is, it's actually Kevala Anandakanda. I think Narottam Das Thakur says, Kevala Ananda, it's the path of bliss. Means Prabhupada says, chant, dance, and have prasadam. Yes, Dhamma Krishna.
One purifies his karma, so finally one has to purify his karma.
Yes.
So suffering is there also, but the devotional service, one can also purify.
Yes, okay, we purify our karma. Yes?
Also, if we are in a spiritual life, the trouble is there, but after many troubles, difficulties, and suffering, the eternal soul takes eternal blissful life.
Good.
But in the, if you are taking for family life or grihastha life, life after life, suffering will go and
right. Material life means birth after birth suffering, and spiritual life means you go to the spiritual world and eternally enjoy. So Hiranyakashipu, what was his center? He had a certain center of his life. What was Hiranyakashipu's center of his life?
Huh?
Himself, yes. And what was the result? We heard the result. What was the result of his, yes?
He was dissatisfied,
yes. He had everything. He had the whole universe. What more can you have in the whole universe? He had the demigods serving him, but still he was dissatisfied. So what was the center of Prahlad's life?
Krishna.
Krishna, yes, pleasing Krishna. And what was the result? Great happiness. Alada, pleasure. So this we can judge by the Prabhupada used to say, what is it? Phalam parichiyate? Phalena parichiyate. You judge by the result. So that's what we must judge. Are we actually in spiritual life or are we in material life? Where is our center? If we are not happy, then that means we must be doing something in material life. Our center must be in the wrong place. It must be money or family or something like that. It's all right to have these things, but they should not be the center of our life. Our center should be Krishna. And our center is actually Krishna, then it is okay, we'll be happy. So we'll look at the end of paragraph 1 in the purport. Pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. And this is Prabhupada's answer to why it's not a valid objection that it's more trouble in spiritual life. We have seen important political leaders killed for a slight discrepancy in their behavior. Krishna is not like that. Therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. Pleasing Narayan, however, is not at all difficult. It is very easy. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayan. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful, whereas one will never be successful in pleasing his so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. Is anyone here ever successful in pleasing your family? Mother, father, brothers, sisters, wife? Yes.
I was trying to do this.
I'm saying, were you successful? I didn't say, everyone tries, that we know. Yes, Janamashtami, you were successful.
Sometimes.
Okay, temporary success we get, yes.
Actually, it seems the less you try to satisfy them, the more they are satisfied.
Yes, The less, okay, Adi Purush has a very nice realization on this point. The less you try to satisfy them, the more dissatisfied they are. That's a good one. I'll try and remember that next time. Yes. Yeah. You're trying to satisfy Krishna more. Is that what you're doing, Adi Purush? And that's why they're, or you just don't bother with the family. Anyway, you're a brahmachari. No problem. Only mother and father, maybe, and that's it. Yes. Yes, Prashanta.
When my mother died, she was never satisfied.
Your mother was never satisfied with you. I can imagine why. Nothing, I mean, you know, I just mean because you're a devotee. From, yes, from the age of 5, right? When you refused to put on nice clothes. Okay. And at the age of 15, when you left home saying goodbye, and they ask you, where are you going? You say, I don't know. Okay.
Because I felt her presence so much when I did the puja. I was so sad before the puja, Godmother. And then during the puja, I felt her presence in such an extraordinary, real way. When she was watching, and finally she understood what it means, because she was out of the body, finally understood what
you're doing. So Prabhupada says, we'll continue. The simple endeavor involved in devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's all you have to do, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore bestowed his blessings by saying, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So we have, Lord Chaitanya has bestowed his blessings on us. All glories to Shri Krishna Sankirtan. If one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, he must take to chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So we have the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. We have the chance to go back to Godhead. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna and be happy, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. So now, the next verses 20 through 23, there's a comment by Jiva Goswami that the potencies of the Supreme Lord, included the material potency Maya, is described in the following verses. So now he's going to describe what are the impediments and how the Lord is covered by his guna Maya, so he's not available to everyone everywhere. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living being, stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He's also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. So did we forget anything there? He's everywhere. We didn't forget anything. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental super-soul, cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cores of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading super-soul, but actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist, he appears non-existent. So Queen Kunti said that Maya Javanikachanam, you're covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, so the mudhas, the agya, the ignorant, they cannot see. So in the purport, paragraph 3, the supreme cause is Krishna, and devotees who have surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can realize him and his presence within the universe and within the atom. Andantarasta paramanuchayam tarastam. This realization is possible only for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. For others, it is not possible. So this is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya rakya mamivye papadyante maya metam taranchiche. Process of surrender in a devotional attitude is accepted by a fortunate living being. So a key word, surrender. This word we'll be finding also in these verses and purports of today's classes, surrender. After wandering through many varieties of life on many planetary systems, when one comes to the real understanding of the absolute truth by the grace of a devotee, one surrenders the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam jamanam ante gyanavan mam prapadite. Prahlad Maharaj's class friends, who were born of Daitya families, thought that realizing the absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many, many people say this very thing. Do any of you agree with that? Realizing the absolute is very difficult? See, we have many, even in this room, we have people who will say this. Even I will say this is very difficult. Actually, however, Prabhupada says, this is not so. There is a book that is recently written about Prabhupada's life by Shuddhakirti, and the title is, What is the Difficulty? That was one of Prabhupada's favorite sayings. What is it? He'll tell you to do something impossible, and then he'll say, what is the difficulty? And we'll see one of our verses. Nothing is impossible for a devotee. That means nothing is impossible for the servant of the pure devotee as well. The pure devotee, nothing is impossible, and if you follow him, if you're going to follow him, then nothing is impossible for you also. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, Prabhupada used to say. So be prepared if you follow a pure devotee. The Absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in association of devotees. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings, Rupa Goswami said, Bhamandabhamiti Kona Bhagyavanaji Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Latabij. So I have a little quote from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which pertains to this verse. When, see, what Prahlad says here is that the Lord is present even in the elements. So later on, when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, is your Lord in this pillar? Prahlad said, yes, of course. He is present everywhere, and that's proving the words. So one of the reasons why Nisringadeva appeared is also to prove these words, which Prahlad Maharaj is stating in this verse, that the Lord is everywhere, even in the pillar, even in the elements. So this is from Biha Bhagavatamrita, 1.4.25. So, Bhute Shata Mahatsucha, he's everywhere. So in Paramatma Sundarbha also, Jiva Goswami talks about the word vyapaka, means the super soul subtly enters the hearts of all living beings. One reason is the Lord's nature is like that. Another reason, he's spiritual and full of bliss, and that's why he comes in our heart as super soul. Because he's free from any trace of matter, he's filled with transcendental knowledge, he's free from suffering, he's filled with knowledge and bliss. Because he's filled with knowledge and bliss, he's the abode of limitless transcendental love. So he quotes 10.14.54. Tasmat priyatama svatma savesha meva dehinam taratameva sakalam jagachaitacharacharam. Therefore, it's the super soul that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of super soul, the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. So Krishna is everywhere, but we cannot see him anywhere. Very difficult to see. Even though he's in this wall, he's in everywhere. He's in the microphone. We can't see him because our eyes are covered. Maya Javanika Chanam, a curtain of Maya, so we cannot see. But now these verses are explaining how you can see him. Verse 24, therefore, I'll say the Sanskrit. Tasmat sarveshika bhuteshu dayam kurutu saviram bhavamasuram unmuchayaya tushyate bhaksuja. Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Again, same thing as he said in verse 19. try to please the Lord. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. So he's urging his demoniac, actually they're not demoniac, they're sons of demons. They're not demons actually, they're children. Sons of demons, he's urging them to preach. This is very nice for you. You should all go out and preach. Prabhupada says in the purport, Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, one can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. Prahlada Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, sons of demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. Confirmed by the Lord himself in Gita, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and his supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dear most servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. So this is sometimes some people would say, they would criticize our devotees, oh, you don't have knowledge, you don't have this, how can you preach? The Prabhupada said, no, you just, even if you don't have complete knowledge, you can go out, you can tell whatever you know. Like Saraswati, she was a four-year-old child. She knew one thing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she would go to every person and say, do you know who is God? And they'll say, no. And she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they first came to India, she was one of the biggest preachers in the party. She was telling everyone who is God. So even a child can do it. As one performs a service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Actually, there was another, I gave an example in some class last year about a two-year-old. It was a two-year-old child who was living in Bombay and in some apartment building. And this child was going down to the first ground floor and begging food from all the people there. And they knew that she was a vegetarian, and so the people were embarrassed. So they all became vegetarian just so they could feed this child. She would go and take milk from one place and chapatis from another and sabji from another. And after a while, all of them became devotees, the whole floor. They started chanting, and they all became initiated devotees because of this two-year-old. Then the two-year-old moved up to the next floor and started the same thing. Quite amazing. Yeah, the mother didn't know what was going on until the people started coming and asking for japa malas and things. So even a child can preach. Even a child can preach. Lord Chaitanya says, advise everyone to become guru devotee and preach. You don't have any excuse. If a two-year-old can do it, so can you. Jai dakva tarika Krishna upadesh amagai guru haya taro edesh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you want the easy path, go out and preach. You don't have to go out. You can just go in the temple in Vrindavan and people are coming every day, so many people. Just stand there and sell books or preach. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhiram sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimichyate. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge. So what are the three formulas of knowledge? Yes?
Best friend of everyone.
Best friend. And?
Supreme proprietor.
Okay, beneficiary of all sacrifice. Proprietor, well-wisher, and friend, beneficiary of all sacrifice. So this is our three formulas of knowledge. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. So again, Prabhupada is stressing, we have to make our center of life pleasing Krishna. And if we have another center, then so many problems will come. If we are the center, or if money is a center, or food is a center, anamaya, pranamaya, even ganamaya, then there will be some problem. And we will see other people as a problem too, but if we want to please Krishna, then there is no problem. So all these boys who were studying, Prahlad's friends, they were studying under Sanda and Amarka. So why should they listen to Prahlad? The answer is in the next verse, next few verses, especially 25. Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, original source of everything. The Lord is a reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? So we should have that faith that if we simply preach, if we simply chant Hare Krishna, then everything is possible. We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. So Prahlad is saying, don't listen to your teachers. What were the teachers teaching? Dharma, artha, and kama, not moksha. Without moksha. They were teaching dharma, artha, and kama. Everybody knows what that is, right? Raise your hand if you don't know. Everybody knows what is dharma, artha, and kama. So Prahlad is saying, no. You don't need to ask for these things. You don't need to strive for it. You will get it automatically if you just worship the Lord. He said, we devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. So my question to you is, do you have any examples of how nothing is unobtainable for a devotee of the Lord? It can be a personal example, or it can be Srila Prabhupada. Yes.
I wanted to quote this example a few days ago when Guru Jantan was asking, he was raising this, bringing up this point. It's the example of Shivas Thakur.
Shivas Thakur.
And Lord, even though he was a Grihastha, he just was chanting all day and nothing else. And
right.
Chaitanya asked him, well, how do you maintain yourself? And he said, right.
Okay, let me just repeat that for our CD listeners. Shivas Thakur, he was a Grihastha, and all he did was just chant all day. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, well, you know you're a Grihastha, how do you maintain yourself?
And he kind of gave a vague answer, and he said, I don't know how it comes, I just chant.
He says, I don't know, I just chant Hare Krishna.
And Lord Chaitanya said, he told him, even if Lakshmi Devi herself has to go out
begging. He said, even if Lakshmi has to go out begging, you will never be without maintenance. And he also, I think there was another answer by Shivas. Jurijan Prabhu read that Leela in Govardhan. I don't remember if my memory is so good about it. He said, so when Lord Chaitanya asked, well, what will you do if you don't have money? And then Shivas said, I will tie a stone around my neck and drown myself in the Ganga. And then Lord Chaitanya gave that answer. That no. Maybe Lakshmi one day will be poor but and have to go begging, but you will never suffer. Because it wasn't just Shivas. He had brothers, they had children. It was a huge family, you know, joint family. Four brothers, so many children, so many servants. No, that was not easy. And he had so much faith. We should have that faith. So anything else? Janamashtami, you had an example of how nothing is unobtainable for a devotee.
Well, there's just so many examples of how Prabhupada was able to acquire valuable property that seemed very difficult to acquire. Like the Detroit Temple.
Detroit Temple.
They wanted a lot of money.
They wanted so much money, so much money.
Somehow or other, Prabhupada made the deal when the owner was intoxicated.
Right.
And and also the
London Ishvara deities. Yes, he kidnapped them, practically. And, yes, nothing is unobtainable for a devotee.
And also the whole pastime of the Juhu Beach.
Juhu Beach, oh yes.
That was like a phenomenal
Huge struggle. And, almost like, it's like Kazakhstan now, I mean, almost.
Yeah.
It's like what's going on. And they wanted to destroy the deities and temple there. The deities were saved just in time from them destroying them.
In that whole pastime, rounds.
Yeah, Tamal said, sometimes I become so disturbed I can barely chant my rounds.
But then he said, but somehow or other I still feel like I'm making advancement.
Just somehow or other I still feel like I'm making advancement.
And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm having the same experience.
I said, yes, I'm having the same experience. And some of us also have the same experience, right? Hard is so disturbed sometimes.
What about the famous saying, impossible is a word?
In a fool's dictionary. Impossible is a word, yes. That was drilled into our brain from the first day we joined. The first day I joined, I knew how to type, and which was a rare, very few people knew how to type, and I happened to join at the place where the ISKCON Press was. So they were doing Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in order to type Bhagavad Gita for the final, you have to transliterate as you type from English to Sanskrit. So Pradyumna gave me a book. He said, okay, you learned this today. Tomorrow you have to start. So Ishopanishad. He gave me Ishopanishad. You learn how to make it from Sanskrit to English. And that was, you know, if you don't do it, then, you know, what's wrong with you? That was the standard in those days. So I did it because I didn't want to feel, you know, different. Anyway, nothing is unobtainable for a devotee who has faith in the spiritual master, in Krishna. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. Dasaite katita hyata prakashante mahatmana. Nothing is unobtainable. So at the end of the purport of 25, Prabhupada says, because they are near Matsara, not jealous of anyone, they want to make others devotees, even their enemies. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya remarks, Kankshite mokshagamapi sukham na kankshachayata. Devotees are not desirous of any material happiness, including the happiness derived from liberation. This is called Yabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam. Karmis desire material happiness and Gyanis desire liberation. But a devotee does not desire anything. He is simply satisfied by rendering transcendental loving service at the lotus feet of the Lord and glorifying Him everywhere by preaching, which is His life and soul. So Burijan gives a nice comment on this verse in his lecture, that if you give up some lesser teaching, you don't lose anything. All teachings are meant to bring us to the highest position of surrendering fully to Krishna. So everything, if you just become a devotee, then everything is accomplished. All financial, just like if you become a billionaire in this world, then you don't have to worry about your financial problems. So if you become a devotee of Krishna, then all these problems are solved. So one time, when in 1970s, when Srila Prabhupada was here, he got a letter from the mayor of Hyderabad. And he was saying that you may be aware, due to inadequate rainfall during the last 2 years, more than half of our state is in the grip of a serious drought. And we want to make a central voluntary organization of citizens from various walks of life. There are villages where drinking water is not available. The cows are dying due to unavailability of food. Food problem is serious, high prices of food grains beyond the reach of poor villagers. 5 to 6 million people have hardly one meal a day. So we appeal to you to consider how your society could come to the rescue of these millions of souls. And his suggestion is that whoever comes to your Pandal program, they should give some money for our relief fund. So that was their suggestion to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada wrote a letter. He said, yes, I beg to inform you that without pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can become happy. Unfortunately, people do not know who God is and how to make Him happy. That was his answer. Our movement is therefore meant to present the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly to the people. And he quotes this verse. By pleasing the Lord, we please everyone, and there's no question of scarcity. Because people do not know this secret of success, they are making their own independent plans to be happy. However, it is not possible to achieve happiness in this way. On your letterhead, I find many important men in this country who are interested in relieving the sufferings of the people. They should know for certain, without pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all their attempts will be futile. So that's Prabhupada. These people coming for help. And then Prabhupada gives some examples how if you please the Lord, then everyone will be happy. For example, due to the performance of Sankirtan here, the rain has begun to fall after a drought of 2 years. As soon as Prabhupada came after the drought, then rain started to fall as soon as they started to do Sankirtan in Hyderabad. The last time, now here's another example. He's giving three examples. The last time we performed a Hare Krishna festival in Delhi, there is imminent danger of Pakistan's declaring war. And when a newspaper man approached me for my opinion, I said there must be fighting because the other party was aggressive. However, because of our Sankirtan movement, India emerged victorious. So here's a different point of view here. They may think that it was their soldiers. The Prabhupada is saying, no, we did Harinam, and that's why. Third example. Similarly, when we held a festival in Calcutta, the Naxalite movement stopped. So these Naxalites, they were going and killing the rich businessmen just like that for no reason. Through the Sankirtan movement, we can not only get all facilities for living, but also at the end can go back home, back to Godhead. Those who are of demonic nature cannot understand this, but it is a fact. I therefore request you, as leading members of our society, to join this movement. There is no loss on anyone's part for chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but the gain is great. Then he quotes this verse. Then he asked them, please give us facility, and everyone will be happy. So this was in 73, actually, 1973. So, yeah, it was very difficult. In those times, it was in Bombay, where they were struggling for the temple. Not only that, all over India, we didn't even get proper food to eat. Like, there was a rice rationing because they were sending all the rice to Russia in exchange for weapons and things like that. So there was a shortage of rice in India because they were sending all the grains to Russia. So rice was rationed. We couldn't even get rice. And in Bombay, I went there for prasadam, and they had this ekadashi rice every day instead of real rice, ekadashi khichdi, ekadashi rice. Didn't have rice even. And one of our devotees, Bhagavat, he was trying to do food distribution. We did have rice, and then they arrested him for having too much rice. They wanted to put him in jail for food distribution. And so that was how it was in the 70s here. And we were all CIA agents and who knows what. So it was not easy to spread Krishna consciousness. Verse 26. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification. These are described in the Vedas as Trivarga, or three ways to attain salvation. Within these three categories are education, self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunction, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas. Therefore, I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. So again, he's telling the children, don't go after these things. You just surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Purport. And this is before the second quote. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to Parama Purusha, Supreme Person. This is the object of the human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. This is confirmed, Srimad Bhagavatam. Duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. So Brijan, Prabhu gives an example. If someone goes to school and he stops at the third grade and insists there's nothing higher than this, that is foolish. So these people, they study the Vedas, they say there's nothing higher, this is it. Just enjoy this life, economic development, sense gratification, this is it. So they are foolish. So one should know the highest knowledge. Madhavendra Puri, he said goodbye to all his karmakandi obligations. In the following words, he said, "Oh, my evening prayer, all good to you. Oh, my morning bath, goodbye. Oh, demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reaction to sin simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu, an enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think this is sufficient for me. What is the use of further endeavors?" So this is our process. Of course, we do take our morning bath. We don't say goodbye. Although some of our younger generation may have done that. But we don't say goodbye to our morning bath. We still do that. Some things we do, we use in devotional service. Some of these rituals. So, I have a commentary which was given to me by Adi Purush on this verse. This is verse 26. Where to go? Yes, verse 26. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, "All of these proclaimed in Shastra I consider true if these are sadhanas for loving self-surrender to the Supreme." So you can use these things if you use them in devotional service. And that's, according to Kapila Dev, the Varnasham system, if you follow it and use it in devotional service, this is devotional service in the mode of goodness, to offer the results to Krishna. Devotional service in the mode of goodness. Now, there's another comment I forgot to tell you, and that's on the first verse about how it's easy to please the Lord. Pleasing Him is no more difficult than pleasing one's family. Okay, it's not more difficult. Nor is seeking for Him tiresome, because He's in the heart. You don't have to go far, in other words, to find the Lord. He's in your heart. Nor is there any toil in pleasing Him, because sarvata, He can be pleased by any and all means, even by worshipping Him in the mind. So the mind it's one form of the Lord, Lord in the mind. And because one can please Him just by your desire, or one can please Him the most by hearing and chanting, He's easily pleased. So these are some comments by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Verse 27. We're going to hear where Prahlad got this knowledge from. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, well-wisher and friend of all living entities, formerly explained this transcendental knowledge to the great saint Narada. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand this confidential knowledge. So that means us, if we take shelter of Parampara, if we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, it can be very easy to understand. So that's what we have to do. In the purport, around the middle of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, "Prahlad Maharaj wanted to impress upon the sons of the demons that although such knowledge can be understood only by a saintly person like Narada, they should not be disappointed. For if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, this knowledge is possible to understand. Understanding does not depend upon high parentage. The living entity is certainly pure on the spiritual platform, and therefore anyone who attains the spiritual platform by the grace of the spiritual master can also understand this confidential knowledge." So when we first, before we become devotees, it's very difficult for us to understand this. We may get a book or something and try to read it, but it's very difficult. I remember when I got Bhagavad Gita the first time, I thought, wow, this is, you know, some things I understand, some things I don't, but whatever I understand, it agrees with my philosophy. And so I thought it's very nice, this Bhagavad Gita. But when you associate with devotees and you serve, you start doing service, then the understanding comes. What was there is a story with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and in that connection, where some pundit came to ask him some very elevated questions. And he sent the pundit, okay, I'm busy now, but you just go and help polish the brass over there. Help my disciple. He's polishing the brass for the deities, cleaning the deities' utensils. So it took him a couple hours to finish that polishing of the deities. And by the time he came back, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked, so what is your question? He said, oh, actually, while I was doing this seva, all my questions were answered. So seva is the way. Seva mukhihi jivado swayameva svaratyara. And it begins with the tongue. Begins with the tongue. If you simply chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is revealed to you. So, Narottam Das Thakur has also sung, Vaishtariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payachikeva. Without serving the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava or spiritual master, no one has ever attained perfect liberation from material bondage. So which of the nine processes of devotional service is this? Parasevanam, very good. But yes.
So in the Sanskrit here,
yeah.
Word by word.
Word by word.
It is mentioned that one should bathe in the dust from the...
Oh, Rajasapluta, Padarvinda. Okay. So you have to bathe, Rajasapluta, Dehinam, you have to bathe in the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees, is it? Yes. Bathe in the dust. Naisamatistava rukramangrim, just like Prahlad previously said, you must bathe in dust. So he's making this point again. You must bathe in the dust of the lotus feet. Three most powerful substances, the dust of the lotus feet, the water that's washed the feet, and what's the third? Prasadam, from the pure mouth of the pure devotee. These are the most powerful things to get mercy, ways to get mercy. So here he's emphasizing, Prahlad is emphasizing taking bath, apluta, rajasa. Rajasa is just padaravinda. You know, this is our duty. And if you want to get the mercy, then that's what you have to do. So, okay, what happens now if the spiritual master is not here? I mean, does it mean that you have to go and he's walking and then you get the dust? And then you put it all over your body. That's one meaning. What's some other meanings? What happens if he's not here? Yeah. Jamashtami.
Vani Seva.
Okay. We can bathe in the words coming from his lotus mouth. Make them one with our heart as we sing every day. The spiritual master. The words from the spiritual master's mouth. Make them one with your heart. Okay. Lotus feet. Because we always hear lotus feet all the time. But what does it actually mean? I mean, we can take this literally. It has a literal meaning. We should get the dust, but also, it has other meanings too. And some lazy disciple would say, "Well, you know, my guru's not here. You know, how will I get the dust?" Actually, when I was a new devotee, I took it literally, and I was a bhaktin. I was a new bhaktin, and one of my duties was to clean Prabhupada's Vyasasan. And there was a lot of dust on it for some reason. So I was cleaning and cleaning. And one time, I was cleaning, and Satsarupa Prabhu was sitting next to the Vyasasana, and a lot of the dust was going on him. And so one devotee came up to me and said, you know, you shouldn't put the dust on Satsarupa Prabhu. And I said, really? I thought you're supposed to get the dust of a lotus feet of a devotee. I thought it was really good for him. You know, I was putting all the dust on him. I read Nectar of Devotion when I was a bhakti. Before I was a bhakti, I read it. And I thought, wow, I thought I was giving him mercy, you know. Anyway, sometimes you're not supposed to take it so literally. But they corrected me on that one. So, yeah, what you think is mercy, they may not think is mercy. So, yeah. Anyway, I very innocently thought I was giving him mercy by putting all the dust on him. Anyway, these things happen. So, there's another verse. So many verses, actually. I'll give you one verse, and you can give me another. I'll give you one from 4th Canto, 24th chapter, verse 56. Shanarte nakpi tulaye asvargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sang sangasya martyanam kimutashasya if one by chance associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, he no longer is subject to attraction by the results of karma or jnana. What interest, then, can he have in the benedictions of the demigods who are subject to laws of birth and death? So, it says, not just a moment, by half a moment. If you get association of a pure devotee by half a moment, then everything, you don't care about anything else. What's another verse? Yes.
That if we serve the devotees, then we can have access to Prabhupada
Vishnu. Okay, if you serve the devotees, even if you're Kirata Huna, Andhra, Pur, even though you're in all of these different rejected categories, you can get the jungles from the jungles of the world. Not only the African jungles, but the city, asphalt jungles. So Prabhupada, he went there and he brought all of these rejected souls to Krishna's lotus feet, because he was such a powerful Vaishnava. What's another verse that's similar? It's very similar to this. Actually, three lines are the same. Tu layama lavena pi nasarga napunarbhavan. Yeah. Tu lava, a lava. This one is a shana. Now, we're having in the Bhagavatam class recently, there were all these discussions on shana, lava, this, that. Adipurush, can you tell us what is a shana and what is a lava? You can look it up for us. How much time?
Lava is 1/11.
Okay, lava is 1/11th of a second. If you associate with a pure devotee for 1/11th of a second, then you can get success. Shana is 4/5, that's a little more. But here it says half a shana, no? Half a shana, so that's about 2/5. 2/5 of a second. That's all it takes. So what is the use of a long life living like a tree? In a moment you can get Krishna consciousness. If you don't have Krishna consciousness, what's the use of such a long life? Better a short life, because that's, who said that? That is in Bhagavatam's second canto. Shukadeva Goswami, I think, or maybe even Shonaka Rishi. Sure, could be. Shukadev? Okay. So, even Lord Shiva, he says the same thing that Prahlad says in 4:24:57. Atanakangre stavakirti chirtayor antabahisana vituta papmanam vitesha nakrosha sasatvashiranam syatsangamanagaha ishanastava. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and destroyer of all contamination of sin. I therefore beg your lordship to bless me by association of your devotees, who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. So that is Lord Shiva's desire. And all the great devotees in Bhagavatam, when they ask, what do you want? They say, let me associate with devotees. Even, who was it? Dhruva Maharaj, when he met Kuvera, of all persons. Because before, that would have been his life's desire, his heart's desire to meet Kuvera, who is a demigod treasurer. And Kuvera says, I'll give you anything you want. And what did Dhruva Maharaj say? Just let me associate with pure devotees. Just amazing. How can that be the highest thing of all, association of pure devotees? It's the highest because they can take you back to Godhead. They can take you out of your most miserable material andakupam existence and take you back to Godhead. Verse 28. Prahlad Maharaj continued, I received this knowledge from the great saint Narada Muni, who is always engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavata Dharma, is fully scientific. It is based on logic and philosophy and is free from all material contamination. And we'll hear tomorrow's classes. We'll hear all the logic. We'll hear so many different philosophies in tomorrow's Nyaya and another one, Sankhya philosophy, in Prahlad's verses tomorrow. The sons of the demons replied, Dear Prahlad, neither you nor we know any teacher or spiritual master other than Sanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. After all, we are children and they are our controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, it is very difficult to associate with a great personality. Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard. So we have another commentary here by the mercy of Adi Purush, which says, you can't escape these two teachers. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you can't escape these two teachers and go to Narada, nor can he come here. How did you associate? So that was their bewilderment. How did you get all this knowledge being locked up in the palace of Hiranyakashipu? So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments on these verses? Yes.
Another example, but just to add to your wonderful...
Unobtainable?
Indra-Dumna Maharaj is...
Indra-Dumna Maharaj.
Both in, at least from my understanding, both in France and America,
French?
Very strict laws regarding religious proselytizing.
Oh, preaching.
Schools.
Oh, in the school, near the schools, or...?
Yeah, like within X amount of feet or meters.
Really?
A story where Vishnu Janaswami, knowing exactly that the legal distance, was standing just at the very edge of that legal distance. The cops actually measured.
Okay, so we are getting enlightened here about the American laws and the French laws, that there's a certain distance you have to stand away from the school in order to preach. And so Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj knew the distance. And the police came and measured it, and he was in the proper distance away from the school.
There's like a whole endeavor to keep, basically to keep the away from the schools, just like we see here in the
pages. Yes, it's an organized attempt to keep religion out of the schools, because the government is atheistic. And they want to keep their power. Now if the students find out spiritual life, then they won't want to listen. They won't know more of this dharma, artha, kama. And they all become devotees. What will become of the world? What will happen? That is their greatest fear. And there's in 10th canto, I'm studying that now. In one purport, Prabhupada quotes the leaders of some government saying, this Krishna consciousness is spreading like an epidemic. What will happen if they get the power? And Bhrishan says, what will happen if we get the power? He also had that fear. He said, yes, I have that fear. Anyway, the Prabhupada said he could give us the whole world in 18 days, just like Arjuna got it in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said, but you wouldn't know what to do with it. And so, therefore, he said he could tell us how to do it. But he didn't want to, because he could see we weren't ready to have the whole world yet. Can't even even we were in this meeting, very very serious meeting with a American ambassador about security in Vrindavan, and he was asking, what are your security problems, and one person was very paranoid, and he was saying, I think there's a lot of organized crime. It's really becoming organized so much in Vrindavan now. And another devotee said, no, I don't think it's that organized. And he said, no, it's very organized. And Bhuri Jambrabhu said, well, at least something's organized around here. So that was our meeting. That was one of the best jokes. I'll tell you, the second best joke was from Parvati. They were saying the danger of crossing the street in front of the temple. I mean, Devi Shakti just got hit by a car recently. So it's very dangerous to cross the street. And they were saying we should make speed breakers. And Parvati said, there's already enough bumps in the road as it is. We don't need more bumps. I just thought I'd tell you the highlights of the meeting with the American ambassador. Anyway, but yes, organized. I don't know how I got into that. Organized. Oh, yes. Oh, any more questions? Sometimes the mind just goes places, and I don't know how I got there. Okay, any more questions? Yes, or comments? Literal, very literal.
But I think that there's a from his feet.
From his feet, most potent dust.
How to really access that? And I've thought a lot about this over the years.
Oh, wonderful! So Janamashtri will give us his realizations after many years of thinking, about meditating on the dust of Prabhupada's lotus feet.
And I think the key is in this, in the fourth woman.
Right, Darby was massaging her husband's feet. Right. That was after he died or before?
No, when he was in the process of leaving
his body. When he was in the process of leaving his body.
Mm-hmm. And then his
then he left and then his body.
Too.
Yes, when the acharya leaves, then there's so much chaos.
Right. And so then he makes it.
Okay, Prabhupada wrote in that purport, the sincere disciple should dedicate his life to putting the institution into order. And how would you do that? Okay, so how would you do that?
By following what was the most important thing.
Following the most important thing?
Two things, you know, distributing books.
Okay, distributing books.
And then, but that was also subset of the purposes that he delineated that this man had.
Subset of the purposes of ISKCON to disseminate.
Propagate
the knowledge systematically.
Boiling the milk, preaching.
Oh boy, that must have been funny.
So she invited me to come and see him.
Did she know who you were?
And she said, are you open to shortcomings or faults and do something about it?
Yes. What's the best way to do something about the faults?
And I found that with that kind of formula, that, wow, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And reciprocation.
You get the reciprocation if you try to follow that, dedicate your life for putting the institution into order. You get a lot of mercy. Okay, so everyone can try this formula. Dedicate your life for putting the institution into order. And we may have our different ways. We have our different personalities. And my realization, like previously also, I was thinking to put the institution in order means to somehow join some reform movement, you know, from my revolutionary hippie background. But then when you do that, then you see the leaders of the reform movement need to be more reformed than the people in ISKCON. They speak about reform, but the last person that's reformed is them. So then I got the idea, well, actually the best way to reform ISKCON is to reform yourself first and be an example of what a devotee should be. And then if everyone is like that, then we have a very nice institution. Everyone is an example of what a devotee should be, instead of trying to reform everyone else into what they think they should be, which will never work anyway, because nobody will listen to you. The only person you can really change is yourself, and when you change yourself, then you can change others. When you have the faith, when you have the empowerment from Srila Prabhupada, then you can affect others. Anything else on this Adiprush?
There's an interesting comment by
Shridhar Swami, comment. On which verse?
Bathing in the dust.
Bathing, okay, we're back. Bathing in the dust. Thank you, Adi Purush.
He says,
verse 27.
That by bathing in the dust from the pure devotee's feet, everybody can get knowledge.
By bathing in the dust of the pure devotee's lotus feet, everyone can get knowledge.
Not just the highly qualified ones.
Okay, not just the highly qualified ones. This is a comment for us from Shridhar Swami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, not just the highly qualified ones, anyone who bathes in the dust of lotus feet. And I think there were some verses at the end of chapter 5, even a dog, even a animal, even an insect, everyone, there's no qualification, right? I can't remember, but I remember seeing my flip chart. It's there. Kirata Hunanda Pulanda Pukasha. Yes, that verse too. Everyone can bathe in the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. So this is verse 27. Something I was thinking of, I wanted to say. Oh yes, I thought of another dust. Adi Purush, maybe you can look it up for us. The saffron particles coming from?
The fourth canto,
is it? You know where it is, Madhavendra Puri? Okay, just look up saffron particles, I think. There's a really nice verse about what is actually the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. Saffron particles coming from the lotus feet of the pure devotee. Is that the feet or the mouth? Or the...
Mm-hmm.
whatever it is, it's good. 4:20:25. Okay. What does it say?
My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities.
My dear Lord, you are glorified by selected verses uttered by great personalities.
Such glorification of lotus feet is just like suffering
tattoo. What is that? What was the first word?
Such
glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. So here it's glorification of the Lord's lotus feet. And so what happens next?
When the transitionship is you.
Okay, when the saffron particles emanating from the mouth of the lotus, the pure devotees about the lotus feet of the Lord enter the ears, is it?
Yeah.
Then?
The devotees gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life.
Devotees come to the right conclusion of the value of life.
My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction.
My dear Lord, therefore I do not need any other benediction.
But the opportunity to hear from the mouth of the pure devotee.
But the opportunity to hear from the mouth of the pure devotee. That is Prithu Maharaj in 4:20:25. Prithu Maharaj speaking about his experience, or his desire, his aspiration, just to hear about the topics of the Lord. And then he's in another prayer, he says, I wish I had millions of ears and millions of tongues so I can hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So any other questions or comments? Okay, well, tell us that. This is a sloka for those who go collect donations. Tell it to Adi Purush.
It was really big when I was
in Prashanta.
That was a brahmacharya and some paintings.
Okay.
And there's it's a 14th chapter, first verse of Adi Lila.
Oh, Adi.
Potential street day.
Oh, yeah, I know that verse.
Duskaram sukaram bhavet. Vishmitai vipraitam
shachitam. Adi? It's Adi 14:1? Katanchana Smriti. This is in relevant to which of the verses we read? 25. Relevant to verse 25. That Katanchana Smriti Yasmin. Yasmin.
Katanchana Smriti Yasmin.
Sukaram Bhavet. Visvitam Tamsya Shanya Namamitam. So.
Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute.
Things which are difficult to do become easy to perform if one simply remembers the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
If one forgets them, then even easy things become very difficult to do.
And if one forgets the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, even easy things become difficult. So if you're having a problem with easy things, then remember Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet.
Well, that was amazing.
So it would work. Huh? Okay, it works. We have a testimony here from Janmashtami Prabhu that you should put this in your mind, in your memory, and whenever you're going out to distribute or get a donation. Thank you for that. Any other suggestions? Okay, any other questions or comments? And if not, then we will stop early and we'll also begin early our next class. Now it's almost 11:45. We'll have a half-hour break, and then we'll start again at 12:15, the second class, which will be in Chapter 7. And Prahlad will tell how he heard from Narada Muni, and he'll begin his teachings. We'll have the beginning, and tomorrow we'll continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.